Keep your Bibles there at Matthew 16. A few thoughts in meditation for and devotions for this evening. So we want to reflect a little bit this evening on the death of the Lord Jesus. That's what happened this evening, we believe, between this around the setting of the sun. The Lord Jesus was crucified, taken down from the cross, and buried. We'll get to resurrection in a few days. So we want to turn our attention to a serious question. Many things happened during those final days and hours of the, in the life of the Lord Jesus on this earth. There's a lot to muse on, isn't there? We spend the rest of our lives musing on the things of the Word of God. There are many important events that are critical to the death of Christ. And so tonight I would have us think through a question. Why 3 days and three nights? Why 3 days and three nights? We've done this several years ago, but I think it's worth reviewing again tonight. First of all, if we try and answer the question, why 3 days and three nights? What's particular, special, important about that? First of all, consider the number three. What immediately comes to your mind with the number three? Trinity, the triune God, right? He is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That, for people like us who know the Word of God, who know the Lord through Christ, understand the triune nature of Jehovah God. We believe in one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three really is the number of deity, if you want. And may I say then that the stamp, the Trinitarian stamp, is all over these events of the last hours of Jesus before his death. The Trinitarian stamp is all over the events in the last hours of Christ before his death. Consider this. How many times did he pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Three times. In the week that Jesus died, there were three Sabbath days in a row. Passover, first day of unleavened bread, and the weekly Sabbath. Now, some take issue to say that Sabbath and first day of unleavened bread are Sabbath days. They are holy days, and the same things pertain to Passover and first day of unleavened bread as they do for the weekly Sabbath. No ordinary work could be done. It was a day of rest. In that respect, then, they were Sabbath days. There are a few places in the Old Testament that refer to the feast days as Sabbath days as well. So we had three very important days, Sabbath days, all in a row. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. How many crosses were on the hill? And where was Christ? In the middle one. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth for Jesus. And how many time periods was in place when Jesus was on the cross? Three. He was crucified at 9. At noon, 3 hours later, came darkness over all of the land for how long? 3 hours, until 3 o'clock, and then sometime between 3 and the 6, the third section, is when the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost, dismissed his spirit, and he died. All the statements from the Lord Jesus on the cross, there are 7 statements that he made that's recorded for us in the scriptures. All of those statements can be fit into those three time periods. And I don't know if Dad's got a book out on that. I know he preached concerning that many times. So we say to you that the Trinitarian stamp is all over Christ's death in these last few hours and days of his life on earth. This was, and still is, a most holy period of time. Most holy. If you want an interesting exercise sometime, then look up all the references with the little phrase, 3 days, in it. 3 days. Very interesting, some of the things that you will find. Look, I've got about 3 pages of them. Of 3 days. I'll give you a little hint to wet your whistle a little bit here. For example, in Exodus 3:18, we read this, "And they shall hearken to thy voice, And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, this is Moses, the Lord speaking to Moses, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. 3 days' journey they wanted to go. Interesting. Why 3 days? I'm sure that there was a significant purpose of that. In Joshua 1:11, we read, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Can you see all the people? Probably around 2 million Hebrews standing on the shoreline of the Jordan. They're getting ready to go over. And Joshua says, 3 days. In 3 days we will cross over and get into the land promised to us of the Lord. You think they were a little excited during those 3 days? That's probably worse than it is for us at Christmas time with kids having to wait for all of that. Here's another one to wet your whistle. In Esther 4:16, we read, go, gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink, how long do you think? 3 days, night or day, it says. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. That's Esther going to the king. And one more. When the Apostle Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, one of the things that happened to him, the bright light, which was the Lord Jesus, blinded him. How long was he blind for? 3 days without sight. He did neither eat nor drink, according to Acts 9:9. And when... what was his name that came along to give him his sight back? Ananias? Oh, never, doesn't matter. He came and gave Paul his eyesight back, and that must have been a marvelous experience for him. 3 days without sight, and after the third day, he can finally see. And really, not only he saw physically, but he saw with his heart as well. He was changed spiritually, inside and out. So the number three is important as we think about 3 days and three nights. Consider, secondly, the exactness of the statement that the Lord Jesus made. Jesus said 3 days and three nights. He did not say 3 days and nights, because if he said 3 days and nights, we might suspect that there could be 3 days and two nights. But he said specifically 3 days and three nights. That is the exactness of his statement. Now, some explain this as a Hebrew idiom, that 3 days and three nights just simply is not necessarily specific, but generally a short amount of time. They explain that part of a day is to be considered as a day in their reckoning. And so those who believe that Christ died on Good Friday say, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you got 3 days. Unfortunately, you don't have three nights in that mix. So they say it's not necessary to understand the phrase as literal, nor as 3 24-hour days. And I suppose that's a good explanation if one accepts the Friday crucifixion of Christ. But it does not line up with what is specifically said from Christ. He said exactly 3 days and three nights. This is not a Hebrew idiom as far as I am concerned. Now, the phrase 3 days and three nights occurs only, want to take a guess? Three times in the Scripture. How about that? 3 days and three nights, only three times in the Bible. 1 Samuel 30, verse 12, Jonah 1, 17, and here in Matthew 12, verse 40. So Christ refers to Jonah's experience as the sign of his own stay in the heart of the earth. This phrase is not idiomatic at all, but specific. And as we know, it must be 24-hour days, 3 days of is 72 hours, and it has to be 3 literal days, and we'll talk about why in just a moment. So 3 is important. 3 days and 3 nights is very specific as a statement. So then, why 3 days and 3 nights? Let me give you just a few ideas to muse on in your mind. Number one, to fulfill the sign of Jonah. Right? Jesus said, there's no sign given to an evil and adulterous generation except for the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. If Jesus was not in the heart of the earth for that period of time, then his sign would be meaningless. So it has to be to fulfill the sign of Jonah. Secondly, I think 3 days and 3 nights is to fulfill the word of Jesus himself. He said that he would be killed in Jerusalem and rise from the dead on the 3rd day. And we read that. In fact, the little phrase, the 3rd day, guess how many times that's found in the scriptures? 3 times. Matthew 16:21, 17:23, and 20:19. You see a pattern here at all? Jesus predicted his death and resurrection in the Gospel of Matthew. The chief priests and Pharisees understood what Jesus had said. They asked Pilate to post a guard at the tomb until the 3rd day. So they knew what Jesus had said, and they were believing him and wanted to secure that tomb. If Jesus did not spend 3 days and 3 nights in the grave, then his word would be null and void, and we wouldn't have any reason to believe anything that he ever said. He prophesied numerous times that he was going to be killed and rise again the 3rd day. And if that had never happened, why would you want to believe anything that he had to say? But the thing is, it did happen exactly as the Lord Jesus said. So why 3 days and 3 nights? To fulfill the word of Jesus Christ. And I think thirdly, because of the days that are involved. The days that are involved. This is Passover season. And Passover is right here. And remember that we read a couple of Sundays ago that Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. And Christ died at the Passover time when those lambs, little lambs, were being killed for Passover feast. And so, because of the days that were involved, you got 3 Sabbath days. Passover, first day of unleavened bread, and then the weekly Sabbath. And the week that Jesus died, the 14th of Nisan, which is Passover, was a Thursday. First day of unleavened bread was Friday, and then there was the Saturday Sabbath. All in a row. It's why the women couldn't go to the tomb until the first day of the week, because those were holy days. They couldn't go near the tomb or the grave. So the days that were involved. Passover, first day of unleavened bread, and the weekly Sabbath are all designated as holy convocations. No servile or ordinary work could be done. Now, the designation of Sabbath to these days did not mean only a part of the day, but rather the whole day. Passover was 72 hours. First day of unleavened bread was a 24-hour period. And the weekly Sabbath was a 24-hour period. You don't say, half of a Sabbath, you stay at rest and you don't do anything half of the Sabbath, and then you can go do whatever you want the rest of it. Sabbath day was a whole day. Same with Passover and the first day of unleavened bread. And so with 3 Sabbath days together, no one could have gone to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus before the first day of the week. No one could have worked to prepare the spices for the anointing either. And the earliest that anyone could have gone to the tomb was the first day of the week, which is what the women did on very early on that morning. When they got to the tomb to prepare the body, what did they find? They found the stone rolled away. The body of the Lord Jesus was not there. But what was? The winding cloths that were around his body and the napkin that was over his head folded and put in a different place. We often talk about the empty tomb. And I understand what we mean by that because Christ is not there. But it really wasn't empty because the confirming evidence of the resurrection was there for all to see. The cloths that his body had been wrapped in and the napkin laid by itself. Jesus had risen just as he said he would do. And so because of the days that are involved, we need three, that's why we have 3 days and three nights. And I suspect that when God put all of this plan together before the foundation of the world, he knew exactly what week would need would be needed for those three things to come all in a row at Christ's death. And I'll give you one more just briefly. Another reason why 3 days and three nights. I think fourthly, because of the nature of man that Jesus sought to save in his death, burial, and resurrection. The nature of man, and really the nature of salvation as well. 3 days and three nights is a picture, a type, if you want, an illustration of the nature of man. Now, man, we believe, is a tripart being, right? We, as individuals, are composed of body, soul, spirit. We're a tripart being made in the image of God, and I think that's why we are tripart, is because God is triune. And the salvation that Jesus provided when he died on the cross is for our whole being, body, soul, spirit. The Bible presents our salvation in three tenses: past, present, future. In the past, we were saved when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as Christians, we can say that we are being saved, we are being sanctified, we are being made more and more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus as we walk along our life path. At least we ought to be becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus. And then we can say in the future that I will be saved because in the future, when the church is raptured, my body is changed, or if we happen to pass away, the body's resurrected, and it is now redeemed for eternity. The resurrection, the redemption of the body, is at the time of the rapture of the church. And so his death on the cross affects every part of our being, body, soul, and spirit. Every part of our salvation experience, past, present, future. Our lives fall into three phases: conception to physical death to resurrection, and resurrection to eternity, right? And each of those three periods of our lives, Christ's salvation or Christ's death on the cross, makes an impact upon every phase of our life and experience. So the issues of our salvation complement our existence. In phase one, from conception to physical death, we are saved from the penalty of sin. We call that positional sanctification. Our spirit is saved in that phase. Because Ephesians 2 says that before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But we've been quickened, made alive by faith in Christ. And that affects our spirit. In phase two of our lives, we are being saved from the power of sin. Being saved from the power of sin. We call that progressive sanctification in our daily lives as Christians. We're saved one time when we trusted Christ, but then we are continuously being sanctified as more and more that we grow in Christ. That affects our soul. Affects our life and living. And then phase three, we will be saved from, in the future, the presence of sin. We call that prospective sanctification. When our body is finally delivered and we are at home with the Lord, body, soul, and spirit, glorified forever, like unto the Lord Jesus. And we will be fully sanctified at that time. And so 3 days and three nights beautifully picture for us the completeness of our salvation by grace, through faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a few others, but we'll pass on them for tonight, about 3 days and three nights. So when you read that phrase, 3 days and three nights, don't just think that it's an offhand kind of pick something out of the air. This is very particular and specific from God's plan from before the foundation of the earth for our salvation to affect and impact every part of our life and being, and to give great glory and a picture of his wonderful salvation to us in our contemplating that which Christ has done for us on the cross. Why 3 days and three nights? There's more than three answers to that question. I was trying to come up with the perfect number of answers, which would have been seven, but our time's gone, and we still want to remember the Lord around the table this evening.